The text is the gospel reading, only I'm beginning with verse 4 and reading to verse 26. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Here ends our text. Reminiscere, or remember, is the ancient name for this second Sunday in Lent. It comes from the first word of the Latin introit, remember. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love. The psalmist asked the Lord, who can never forget, to remember. I'm asking you, who easily forget, to remember. In reality, the psalmist and I are doing the same thing. David calls upon God to remember his mercy and love, not because God forgets, but because he does. Remember. Remember the Hound of Heaven. In Bible class, we've talked about this early 20th century poem where God is depicted like a bloodhound ever in pursuit of a lost soul. If you've ever heard the relentless baying of a hound after its prey in the quiet woods, you'll never forget it. Remember, Jesus is the Hound of Heaven. I started the reading with verse 4 to show you this. Now, he had to go through Samaria, it says. The word had is the Greek word for necessary. It is a passion word. There's a divine need as part of Jesus' saving ministry for him to go through Samaria. Besides, no one had to go through Samaria. Pious Jews went around it to avoid those unclean Samaritans. Also note, though the disciples are with Jesus, it wasn't necessary for them to go through Samaria, but only for him. The Hound of Heaven is on the trail of his prey. A hound on the trail of a rabbit or bird will go into thickets you cannot believe it can get in. Here Jesus pursues a soul into the thicket of Samaria, where no Jew thought anyone was savable. The Samaritans were a result of the Assyrians long ago importing people to marry with the poorest of Jews they left behind. All the derogatory terms full-blooded people have for those not were used for the Samaritans by the Jews. The woman knows this. She can't believe Jesus deigns to speak to her at all, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. She doesn't know the hound of heaven is on her trail, and let me tell you, it's a stinky one. She isn't apparently unsavable because of her racial makeup. She is unsavable. She's had 5 husbands, and now she's living together. That means she's living in sin. She's fornicating. She's having premarital sex. At this time, the life expectancy for a woman was 34 years. So 5 husbands in about 20 years and 1 live-in lover. Oh, sure, some probably died. But there are skeletons in that there closet, and the hound of heaven has snipped them out. Remember the hound of heaven. Hear his rhythmic baying echoing behind you on the trail of a lost sinner. Remember that, and remember being thirsty. If you've ever been really thirsty, you can't forget it. As a teen, I got lost while hunting. It was on a fall Michigan Indian summer day that became a night. When I came upon a mud puddle, I was so thirsty, I drank greedily and thankfully from it. Wait a minute. Why does Jesus use the idea of thirst with this woman? What does being thirsty have to do with being sinful? Being dirty applies. Needing water to wash applies. But being thirsty? Thirsty is an image of sinfulness when what you've been drinking doesn't quench your thirst. This running rabbit of a woman whom the hound pursues thinks she's gotten everything from this well that her ancestor Jacob and his sons did. Jacob and sons, they are the church. She thinks the church lived on the same physical water that she and her fellow Samaritans did, as opposed to the Jews who didn't have this well. But the church no more lives from physical water than from physical bread. The church lives from spiritual water and from the bread of heaven. Jesus points out what his prey is lacking, saying, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. What she's been drinking, it's not enough. The woman has a sense of her need now, but not fully. She can see she lacks, but not in a sinful sort of way. Her thirst is not yet guilt. Thirst can be an image of guilt when what you drink becomes bitter, foul to you. Here's where the hound of heaven is going to pounce, sink his fangs into her and kill her once and for all, and for good. The woman shows up at the well all by herself. Drawing water was woman's work, and it was a communal activity. The townswomen went together. Though it was heavy work, the chance to visit was a treat. Yet this woman is all alone. It's not the time when other women went out to draw water. And note, when the woman hurries back to town, whom does she tell? The New American Standard says she tells the men of the city. You know why? Well, you women sure do. You women know why she told the men. This woman, this sinful soul that the hound of heaven is pursuing, this is Dolly Parton's Jolene. Dolly describes Jolene thus: your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like the breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. And in the chorus, Dolly pleads, Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Having gotten 5 men to marry her and a 6th on the line, the women of the town scorned her, hated her. She disgusted them. They loathed her. She was a threat to their marriages. But what did this beauty see reflected in the water each day when she stooped down to draw water all by herself? She saw you. She saw you on those days when your sin and sinfulness catches up to you. At least that's what she saw today when the hound of heaven exposes her sins. Jesus says, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. And Jolene is caught by a prophet who is the Messiah and the hound of heaven. As a prophet, he tells her all she ever did. And as Messiah, that is Christ, he saves her from it all. So how about you? Are you satisfied with what you've been drinking to try and quench the thirst of your soul? Power, success, money, sex, drugs, alcohol, friends, hobbies? Do you remember your thirst because what you've been drinking is bitter to you? On the outside, you project beauty. But on the inside, there is leanness, meanness, sinfulness. If you pile it all up, it's too heavy. It's too big for you to deal with. It is crushing you. Ever hear a wounded rabbit? It is a heart-wrenching sound. Hounds know the sound, and so do coyotes. Both come running. One to catch it, the other to kill it. You know what sound a soul wounded by his or her sins makes? Well, you chanted it in the intro. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love. The Lord cannot forget his great mercy and love to you. The question is, in your state of agitated, forlorn thirst, do you remember the water of life? That's the only answer to your thirst. Where can you get this water of life? It only flows from one source, Jesus. Jesus, John alone makes a big deal of this. In his gospel, John tells you that when the soldier pierced Jesus' dead side, at once there came out blood and water. Then some 60 plus years later, John writes in his first epistle, Jesus is he who came by water and blood, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. These three testify, the Holy Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. These three testify that the holy, perfect Son of God died in your place for all of your sins. It was a real, complete, total death. It was sacrificial to appease the wrath of God against your very many sins. It was unimaginably painful because your sins are worthy of eternal torture, of eternally being burned, but never burned up. Your sins should send you to hell where you would be grateful for just a drop of water off someone's finger. Yet you don't go there because Jesus did already. And flowing from his side is the blood that forgives you and the water that enlivens you. Remember the cover of the Lenten devotions? There is Christ crucified, blood flowing from his hands and feet, and blood and water from his wounded side. But in that artwork, it's not falling on the ground. Angels are there with cups, capturing those fluids which from any other body would be gross, but from Jesus are life-giving and full of grace. This artwork is a way of picturing that the blood and water of Jesus aren't for you at a place called Calvary anymore. Blood and water doesn't flow from Jesus' body there anymore. His blood and water are found for you in chalice and font, in word and sacraments. Into this font is where you will find this water. And you will find the water that flowed from Jesus' side. More accurately, it's where his water finds you. All that was in Jesus' holy life and his innocent death are found in this font. Sinners plunged beneath these waters lose all their guilty stains. What happened to little Thomas today happened to you when you were baptized. You were forgiven, rescued from death and the devil, and given eternal salvation. How can water do such great things? It's not just the water, but God's word that Jesus connected to it. This baptismal water baptizes you into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This water stuffs you into the wounds of Jesus, into the blood of Jesus, into the water of Jesus, where you will thirst no more. Remember the water of life flowing from the wounded side of Jesus and into the font where you were baptized. And that's the problem. We forget. We dry up. Our catechism directs us to make the sign of the cross over ourselves. Why? As a good luck charm? As a meaningless gesture? No, to remember our baptism. To remember I've been baptized. To remember that the water of life that flowed from Jesus' side has washed over me. Living in Texas, I know you cannot forget this. After a dry spell, how withered, how brittle, how lifeless a plant is. But then comes the water. Remember how quickly it perks up? Remember how quickly it greens up? Remember how quickly it livens up? Your sin and sinfulness dry you up to the point you'll spontaneously combust in hell. Remember the water of life that ever flows for you in the water and words of your baptism. Remember the hound of heaven pursued you just so he could dunk you in this water and quench his thirst for you and yours for him. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.